I'm the warehouse manager, and I work in the back by myself a lot. At the end of the day, it's kind of creepy when no one else is in there. Like, you always get the feeling you're being watched. I also share that feeling with a couple other people that work in the building and have worked in the building. They also felt like they were being watched, and it was just a little creepy. So one day, the lights were out because we were just about to close, but I went in the back to go pull a part, and I turned the flashlight on for my phone so I would have some light to be able to see the part numbers. And I get back there, and I'm jokingly saying, oh, there's no ghost back here. There's no ghost. I said it out loud. And literally, right after I said it, I heard a loud bang, and there was no one else in there but me. So I think that was the ghost reassuring us that he is here.
Willing a ghost away is not always very effective. In fact, it very rarely ever is effective. Now, it's one of those things where if you have an entity that's conscious, that is not necessarily bad, and respects you, you can sometimes ask and communicate and kind of discover a mutual respect or distance. But willing something dark away, something that clearly sees you as an adversary, yeah, not so much. Especially something that you invited in that does not want to go away because finally that door was opened. Those doors that can be opened can sometimes be very, very troubling. They're often opened by people who are young and inexperienced and don't really know what they're doing, maybe playing with a Ouija board. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear some of those stories, some young, and I say young and dumb, because I believe I was too at one point, teens discovering that a Ouija board is no game at all. We hear of two stories like that. They open it up, and they get a surprise. Also, what should be a peaceful family getaway ends up turning into a depressing energy suck that makes some contemplate their mortality. Not exactly a restful vacation whatsoever. Creepy stories. Plus, a pet returns home night after night, months after its unexpected passing, showing that maybe you don't have to wait until your own passing to be reunited with one of your best friends. We get those stories and more in EPP bonus episode number 259 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. The loss of a pet can be a very traumatic event, especially if that pet is more than just what some may classify as a pet. To many, pets are like our kids. Pets can be super loved. Pets can be protectors. Pets can be so many things to us. Companions, caretakers, you name it. They go far beyond just the furry little creature that wanders around by our feet. In our next story, we hear of the love that some owners were giving their pets, the trying times that they went through with the pets, and how close they came at one point to losing their pet. And then when the day actually did come of that loss, oftentimes people will hope and pray and believe that someday they'll be reunited with their furry little friends. The thought is quite often, oh, this will happen once we as humans pass. Sometimes, as you will hear, that day may come much sooner without having to die yourself. Take a listen. But 10 years ago, I was looking through Craigslist for a companion. There he was, beautiful, dappled Dachshund. He was 5 weeks old and ready for adoption. So, we decided to take him. He was only $50. He was the sweetest thing I've ever seen. We loved him from the very first day that he came home with us. We named him Chester because my husband loves Gunsmoke. He grew into a very, very smart dog. We taught him bang and he would fall down. He learned how to say, "I want it," in his doggy voice. Of course, he learned how to make us do anything for him. We'd rock him to sleep every night. He became our little guy. So as the years went on, he and my other little girl had a family. She, Eddie, his 6 pups. We decided to keep one of them. He was a silver dapple with 1 blue eye. He and Chester got along well at first, but when Dylan's, also from Gunsmoke, testicles dropped, they began to fight. I was always in the middle of the two of them and always got bit. One time they were fighting and I was holding Chester. He thought I was Dylan jumping up to get him, so he turned around and while in my arms, bit at Dylan and instead got me. I ended up having to go to the hospital and have it looked at. The doctor said it didn't look like a committed bite, but still had to call the pound on him. We were in shock. They wanted to take our little guy, who's never been away from us at all, to the pound for a week. We fought with animal control, and there was no way we were letting them take him from us. Well, animal control wasn't giving up. They harassed us for 3 days, bringing the police to the house to try and take him. The animal control officer asked us if we had a dog we weren't too fond of. We're like, "Oh my God, are you kidding me?" We told him no. We loved all our pets. But we had to do something. So we made a phone call to a friend to see if he knew where we could get a dog to put in his place. We found a dog that was being abandoned at a shelter and took him to animal control and surrendered him to them. The officer didn't know what kind of dog had bitten me, so we thought no harm, no foul, as long as Chester didn't have to go. They'd already warned us if he bit anyone up there, they would put him down. Well, being that he had never been away from us, this was going to be an issue. So with the animal control satisfied with us bringing in a dog, we continued on with our lives. Fast forward to 2014, Chester was very protective of me, and especially his dad. They even looked a little bit alike. Chester went everywhere with us. One day, I was outside working in the yard, and there's a chair on the porch for Chester to sit in while I did what needed to be done outside. I gave him a yard stake to play with because he liked the bells on it. I never would have guessed he would have eaten the bells right off of it. He just wasn't like that. He didn't tear up his toys. He kept them put. After a week, we could tell something was wrong with him. This horrible odor was coming out of his mouth, and he was getting worse. The week of the 4th of July, we had to take him to the emergency room because he was very lethargic and his eyes would cross if he got too excited, not to mention the foul odor from his mouth. The ER vets did their best to leave him overnight for observation. Again, never have been away from us. I cried all the way back home and all night. I would call and check up on his progress, and they told me that he had no platelets in his blood and couldn't understand why he wasn't already dead. So they wanted to do a blood transfusion, and we agreed. After all this, he's our little guy. We'd have moved mountains for him if we could. Every night I'd call on the hour to check on him. They assured us he was getting better but had an immune disorder. He's always been a very healthy dog and never had any problems before. The ER vet said they were going to do an X-ray to see if something was stuck in his throat. I couldn't help but think, why haven't they done this already? Come to find out, they had just done that, and he tried to bite them. My brain couldn't understand why they didn't sedate him to do the X-ray. They assured us they had done the X-ray from his esophagus down. Why hadn't they done his whole head to check if maybe it was a tooth or something like that? They would let us visit him once a day for 15 minutes, and every time he looked at me, I would cry because I knew what he wanted. And that was to go home to his other friends, but they wouldn't let us take him yet. They still didn't know what the problem was. What made his blood lose all the platelets? I knew. I knew it was that damn bell I had given him to play with, and it was withering, stuck, or had cut the inside of his throat. I mean, a pet owner knows their pet like the back of their hand. Anyway, I finally let him go when his regular vet got back into the office. So far, we spent over $2,000 and still don't know what was wrong with him. We didn't get any diagnosis. We took him and all the tubes, wires, and things coming out of him to the vets. He advised us to let them keep him overnight for observations, another night without a buddy. My husband and I went home not knowing what was going to happen. I think we both kind of knew what was going to go down the next day. So our youngest daughter, who's 20, went with us to the vet office to pick him up. The doc put him on the table, felt his belly, and looked at us, and that's when we knew. He told us to say our goodbyes because the blood was in his belly. Chester looked at us as though he knew what the doc had said. The doc put the needle in his leg, and Chester looked at us, and we just broke down. I mean, he was only 10 years old. How could this have happened? How could they not have caught the problem or even listened to me when I told them what had happened? I was full of questions that no one could answer. The doctor asked if we wanted the body or if they should dispose of it for us. Of course, we took him home with us. My husband began digging the hole and cried the whole time, and then we finally laid him in a box with his favorite toys and said we loved him and we would see him again one day. My husband slowly covered the box with dirt and fell to his knees, sobbing. We had just lost our best friend, our protector, our little guy. So a month goes by and I can't stop crying. Even today I cry when I think about him. Well, I convinced my husband to get this little dapple boy pup off Craigslist. What was I doing trying to replace Chester? I didn't know. I just knew there was a hole in my heart and needed to fill it. So we adopted a little guy named Festus. About a month went by, still with Chester in our thoughts daily. Then one night our cameras caught this weird little blue light just hovering there. See, Chester would watch the cameras daily, so he knew which one could be seen and from where. This blue light stayed at the bottom of our monitor for at least a day. We just dismissed it as being something on the lens. Then one night I decided to talk to Chester to ask him to show himself if he could. After all, we did get a new pup and I wanted to be sure he was okay with that. He showed up on the front door camera as a bright, big blue orb. I couldn't believe my eyes. This was done on command. My husband just thought I was crazy and kept telling me he was gone and couldn't come back to us. I told him I knew this was Chester by the way the light acted. I continued to talk to him nightly while watching the cameras, and he always showed up. And that's going to wrap up the preview portion of Real Ghost Stories Online. EPP bonus episode number 259. In the rest of our episode, it takes a turn for the dark as we hear several stories of Ouija boards of young and experienced teens digging in, opening those boards, opening those doors to they don't know what, and discovering just how dark things can be that come out of it. Also, what should be a peaceful family getaway turns into a depressing energy suck. It makes some members of a family contemplate their own mortality. Not exactly the definition of a restful vacation. To hear it, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, you sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com or through patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month to be an EPP. You get access to all 259 bonus episodes of our show. You get brand new ones every single week. Advanced access to the show, commercial free, the regular episodes, weeks before those episodes are released to the public. It's all there for you. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Please support our program.